this morning we're going to continue the sermons we started before about having a little talk with Jesus. The idea of a number of people that were in the Scriptures that actually had an opportunity to sit down and just talk with Jesus. Something that probably all of us have thought about. I mean, wouldn't it be kind of neat if we could just sit down and just have a one-on-one, face-to-face conversation with our Lord? We looked at Nicodemus, one of the highest men there in Israel, member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling class. We looked at the woman at the well, a Samaritan, probably socially the very lowest class. So that Jesus reached down to everyone and continues to today. Today we're going to look at another woman, a woman named Martha, that had two conversations with Jesus through the Scriptures. And I think if you turn with me, if you've got a Bible, over to Luke chapter 10. It's the first time we see Martha. This is towards the end of Jesus' ministry, even in Luke chapter 10. And the last one is even further along in his ministry. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is visiting the countryside of Bethany. Now, most of Jesus' ministry was around Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, which is 50 to 75 miles north of Jerusalem. This is closer to Jerusalem. Bethany is about a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. And in chapter 10 of Luke, we read these words, beginning in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord said, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." How do we choose the things that we do during life? There are many choices that we make, and one of the things we'll be talking about or thinking about today is how we make choices. And a lot of the choices we make are not just right or wrong. They kind of fall in between right or wrong. It's easy to sometimes say, well, this is right and that's wrong, so it's an easy choice. But there are other choices we make all through life that don't really have right or wrongs. Think about when you got out of school, what job to take. Hopefully you had maybe more than one job you could take. Sometimes you don't. But we think about what job we take or where we live or even what college we went to, if you can think back that long ago for some of us. You know, what decisions we make through life. Some are marked just right or wrong, but how do we make those decisions? How do we make better decisions? It's one of the things we'll be looking at this morning. Now, to understand our story, you need to understand a little bit about hospitality in New Testament times. Jesus had come to this little town of Bethany, and it was up to Mary and Martha to welcome him into their home and show him hospitality. And that's something we may not think much about, but throughout the Scriptures, it's a high importance. In Romans 12, Paul commands us to practice hospitality. And in chapter 16, he actually talks about Gaius as one who should be commended for showing hospitality. In Timothy, he gives the requirements for an elder. And one of the requirements of an elder is one that will show hospitality. Later on, he talks about the widows. And he said, if you're going to bring a widow under the role of the church, that the church supports her, she should be one that shows hospitality. Here, over and over again, it's mentioned that this idea of showing hospitality, something we may not think much about. In many of the parables of Jesus, the idea of honor is associated with showing hospitality. And the idea is that if you did not show hospitality, it would be a dishonoring for you and even your whole community. Jesus' first miracle was turning the water into wine. And sometimes that sort of surprises us, and why would Jesus do that? It was this idea of hospitality and the honor of the bridegroom and his bride. And even their community was involved in the honor of showing hospitality at the wedding and showing hospitality to strangers. So here is Martha in her little village. And Jesus, who's now pretty well known, this was that prophet from Galilee that everybody's talking about. And there'd be a lot of people there looking and seeing what's going on. And now Jesus is at her doorstep. And it's not just Jesus. He brings 12 friends with him. Can you think about if you had a pretty famous guy and he comes up with 12 of his friends and you've got to now provide for him and feed him and put him up for the night? That's not just some little thing, is it? And that's what Martha's faced with. And how well she does, it's going to show back on her family. It's going to be her whole community is going to be in the limelight here. And so there's a lot of responsibility that's been placed upon Martha. And that's what she feels. And you can see she feels, and she's trying to get all this together to take care of this prophet that's here with his 12 friends or his 12 disciples and a lot of other people around watching what's going on. And she feels all of that. And she makes that known to Jesus. How do we make choices in our lives? Choices that aren't necessarily black and white kind of choices. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul talks about the idea of wealth and how many times we strive for riches and wealth and, as he says, cause all kinds of problems in our lives. And you see that in our lives as we strive for the things of this world. Look over to 1 Timothy 6. It's a passage we read often. But it's a passage that brings out the idea of importance, of what we really place as importance in our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, and when besides money we could put other things as well, as the prestige and the other things that this world has to offer. But in chapter 6, verse 6, Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, but we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith." Besides money, we can think about prestige. We can think about a lot of the things that this world has to offer and how they can lead us away from the Lord. How do we make right decisions? Now, there's nothing wrong with pursuing money. We need to provide for our families. We provide for our lives here. And so a lot of these things are not just this is wrong and this is right, but it's how we put the priorities on it and how we look at what is maybe what we might call better. Because that's what Jesus says to Martha, is that Mary chose better. It's not like you're choosing the wrong. The things that Martha was doing had to be done. But Mary was listening at the Lord's feet. She had made a better choice. There's a saying in engineering that took me quite a while to kind of appreciate it. But the saying was, better is the enemy of good enough. And in engineering, a lot of times you have a system or something you're designing, and you've got a lot of requirements. And often we're good at some things, but we're not so good at other things. And so the things we're good at, we like to make them as good as we can make them and just ignore the other things. But in engineering, you've got to meet all the requirements. And sometimes we do the same thing in our lives. We kind of build one side up because we may be good at that, and we ignore something else and not even think about it at all. And we don't think about all the things we have to do. And we can get distracted in life. That's really what happened to Martha. It says all the preparations that had to be done, and Jesus even uses this term, Martha, you're worried about many things. Look over to a couple of the Psalms. Look over to Psalms 37. And listen to the words of Jesus. And the things that thinking about, just taking a little time sometimes and thinking about what's really needed. Because that's really what Martha had done. She'd gotten so tied up in the preparations, she missed what really needed to be done. Look at Psalms 37. I'm going to read the first few verses. "Do not fret because evil men are envious of those who do wrong. They are like grass that will soon wither. The green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Look over to Psalms 46, a few pages over. Here I'm going to read the first three verses and then skip down to verse 10. God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Now look at verse 10. These verses sort of go through all the different things that happen, and sometimes they seem to be overwhelming. But in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sometimes we let the things of the world sort of overwhelm us, and we don't seek the things that are really important. Now look on over the next time Jesus meets Martha, and this is in chapter 11. And things are quite a bit different in this visit. Martha's brother Lazarus has just died, and she's grieving, very heartfelt for him. She had sent messages over to Jesus numerous times trying to get him to come quicker so that he could have come and maybe healed Lazarus. But Jesus doesn't come on the timetable that she sends, and he sort of tarries. And so we learn it's actually been 4 days that Lazarus has been in the tomb. So he's probably been dead maybe 5 or 6 days at this time. Look over to chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. Jesus is now arriving in this little town of Bethany just outside of Jerusalem. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. First thing you see in this is that how they reversed. Before it was Mary that came to see Jesus, now it's Martha. So you can see just in this length of time, we don't know, maybe 6 months or a year between these two, how Martha has changed. And we see her great faith in this conversation. Listen to what she says in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Now you first read that and you think that she knows he's going to raise Lazarus, but actually we find out that's not what she means at all. She starts it off with, Lord, if you had been here. You can almost hear the pain in her voice. Jesus, if you had just come quicker. We sent messages to you. We sent a messenger over to you. And she said, Jesus, if you had just come sooner, this would not have happened. Have you ever prayed for something very fervently on your heart? Maybe pray for days and not have it answered the way that you wanted it answered. Maybe it didn't turn out the way that you thought that it should turn out. That's really where Martha is now. She had prayed earnestly to Jesus. She wanted him to come. But he had not come. And her brother had died. And now she's feeling that the pain of having lost her brother. And says, Jesus, you could have prevented this. If you had just come sooner, it wouldn't have happened. But the next thing she says shows her faith. What she's really saying in the next part is, I know that God is with you. Even though you didn't come on time, I know that God is with you. One author put it, you could have said it like this. If you had been here, my brother would not have died, for I know that God gives you whatever asked. Even though he died, I know that. In other words, even though my prayer was not answered, I know that you are God is with you, Jesus. It's sort of like sometimes in our prayers we say, but God's will be done, that everything will happen according to God's will. Is that true? We have a tendency to say that a lot of times. We get ourselves in a trap when we do. Everything does not happen according to God's will. You think about the things that we've just talked about. The choices that we make. God does not will us to make poor choices. Jesus had gotten on Martha before because she had not chosen that which was better. It was God's will that she would have chosen better. God never wills for us to sin. Yet, from time to time, we do sin. It's God's will that all men would come to Him. But they don't. Things of this world, God gives us choices. And those choices often have consequences. And we cannot blame God because of the consequences of our sin or the choices that we make in life. And that's really what Martha is saying to Jesus, is that I know that God is with you. It didn't turn out the way that I wanted. You didn't come on time. But I know that God is with you. Now look at what Jesus says to her next. Jesus replies to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now that's really what she wanted. She wanted her brother to live. And Jesus says, "Your brother will live." And Martha goes on to say, "I know he will rise at the resurrection at the last day." In other words, she knows that we will all be in heaven one day if you're in Christ at the end of the resurrection. On that last day, we'll be in heaven. But that's not where Martha is right now. She's right here on earth, and she feels the pain of having lost her brother. Notice in this whole section, Jesus never tells her, "Martha, you shouldn't worry about it. Someday, Jesus, we're going to all be in heaven together, so it's okay." Jesus never says that. Sometimes we say that, but Martha's in pain right now. She has lost her brother. Jesus feels that pain. And he doesn't tell her that you shouldn't worry about that, that your pain's not real. Her pain is real. She has lost her brother, and she feels that. We lose somebody here on this earth. We may know that they've died in the Lord, and they will be in heaven one day, and that helps us. But it doesn't mean we don't hurt right now. Martha was hurting. She had lost her brother. She knew that in the resurrection, he would rise again. But it didn't mean that she wasn't in pain right now. Listen to what Jesus now says to her in verse 25. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? That last question that Jesus puts to her is really the question, do you believe in Christianity? See, Christianity is not just a way of living. It's not just a law of a lot of rules or a little bit of that and this, as we sometimes, a morally best way or an ethical code of life. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is that hope for eternal life in Christ. And that's what Jesus ends with here. "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though you die on this world, you will live eternally with me and the Father. And if you believe in me, that eternal life is yours." Do you believe this? And that's really the question Jesus gives to every one of us. Do you really believe in Christianity? Not as a way of life, but as an eternal life. And listen to what Martha replies to him. This is one of the great passages in all the Bible. We don't have many confessions. We often turn to Peter's. But this is just as great as the confession that Peter makes of Christ. And listen to what Martha says. "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And that truly is something we need to think. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe? Because sometimes we pray, and sometimes our prayers aren't answered the way we want them answered. Things don't turn out the way we think they should. And sometimes we want to blame God. And sometimes we may lose our faith. But here is Martha. She has lost her brother. She knows that Jesus could have healed him if he'd just been there sooner. But she's lost her brother. But Jesus says, "Do you believe in me?" And Martha says, "Yes, I believe you are the Son of God." Now look on, a couple of verses on. Jesus comes to the tomb. And look at what happens when he comes to the tomb. And at this point, you can sort of see Martha is, she's kind of low. What do you do when things don't go the way that you want them to do and your faith goes down? It's nice to say our faith is always on a good plane, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes things happen in this world that bring us down. And we don't feel very good. We don't feel good about the things around us. and we wonder what's going on. And sometimes this world almost seems to be more than we can handle. If you go back to the Psalm that talks about the mountains falling into the sea, it seems like sometimes this world's just coming apart around us. And that's sort of what happens at the tomb. It's sort of like Martha's world was coming apart. And listen what it said. This is in beginning in verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take the stone away," he said. "But Lord," Martha said, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there will be a bad odor, for he's been there for 4 days." Take the stone away. Have you ever thought about how we keep a stone sometimes in our lives? Kind of keeping ourselves from doing the things that we should do. Take the stone away. Jesus says, repent and turn to me. Turn away from this world. Take the stone away from your heart that allows you to do the things that you can do. And that's really what Jesus is now going to open up. And listen why he goes on down. Look at verse 40. "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" We sometimes miss that, the very glory of God, because we get so tied up in the things of this world that we miss the very glory of God that's around us. In this whole section, you see Martha's thinking about Lazarus on this earth. And Jesus is the whole time trying to get her to understand eternity. And sometimes we miss those two. We get so tied up right here in this world and the things that are real to us here that we miss eternity. And Jesus is constantly moving her over to eternity. And that's what he's doing here at the very end. And listen how he ends this section, beginning in verse 41. "So they took the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me.' When he said this, Jesus said in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in the strips of linen and the cloth around his face. And Jesus said, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" Now think about where we are today. If you had been like Martha, tied up with the things of this world, and Jesus brings to you the idea, really, of eternal life. "I am the resurrection and the life." Martha knew that, just as we know that. But sometimes the things of this world kind of cloud it out. Sort of like when she was making the preparations at the beginning. We let all the kind of the hustle and bustle of this world, and we lose sight of that which is really real and the very glory of God. Three things I'd like for you to think about as we close today. First, do we sometimes choose the lesser instead of the better? We need to think about the choices we make. Remember the Psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." Don't let the things of this world blind you to the things that are really important. Because it can. And the things of this world are real, at least real to us. And it's easy to get in the hustle and bustle and the things that go on every day and fail to see the things that are really better. And that's where Mary and Martha were at the beginning today. Be still and know that I am God. Second, do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? It's easy to come and talk about being a Christian, but do we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And the third, do we believe in the glory of God? It's around us all the time. But if we don't stop and think and don't take time to look, we can even miss the very glory of God. We need to make sure we choose that which is better and not settle for the things of this world. This morning, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe, if he came and said, "Do you believe this? Do you believe I'm the resurrection and the life?" How would you answer him? Does your life reflect that belief? Are you truly living for him? Have you put him on in baptism so you can be united with him? If you have been united with him, are you truly walking that path with him? He's the resurrection and the life leading to eternal life. Think about your life. And think about the things that are you reflecting in your life today. If you have need to come, Won't you come as together we stand and sing?